chapter here at First Open Bible, and I am sorry if you have sensitive ears. I cannot apologize today. I feel the fire of God today. I do. I feel it. Feel it. May God be glorified. Amen. May God be glorified. God be glorified. In the shower this morning, God gave me a really cool analogy. In the last year, who has went and saw a doctor? Raise your hand. Raise your hand like you remember. All right. That's why I'm 2018, January. Yep, that was. All right. Y'all went to the doctor, all right, in the last year or so. Now, who wants to have a doctor who went to school? They went to school and they kind of stopped their studies there. They realized that people around them are coming up with new ideas and new thoughts and new things. I'm going to walk around a lot. A doctor's just kind of like, I'm going to check in at 7 a.m. I'm going to leave at 6 p.m. And I'm just going to get my work done. I'm going to see some people, and I'm going to do what I've been called to do. And they just kind of, ho-hum about it. Who wants to see that kind of doctor? Those doctors exist, right? Man, I'm retiring in 3 years. I'm just going to push through this. I'm just going to see as many patients as possible. I'm going to just slap them with some medicine. I'm going to send them on so I can get my cut from the insurance companies. I'm just going to keep pushing them, right? Right? But who wants a doctor that says, you know what? God's given me this ability to have an incredible mind, a steady hand, and maybe good bedside manner or not. But who has given me that strength and that I'm going to go and I'm going to study. I'm going to read the latest things. I'm going to get into books. And yes, I'm really good at this, but I want to specialize in multiple things. I want to look at each patient as somebody that I can give a dedicated life to at that moment. I can give my time. I can pour everything into them. I want to study. I want to stay up late. I want to learn all these new things that are going on. If there's a new medicine out, I want to see what the side effects are, what they're not, who they can marry with, and all these other things. Who wants that kind of doctor? You, church, are a spiritual doctor. What kind of doctor are you? No. Are you the lazy doctor that just accepted Christ or walked through the things that God said, I passed all my tests and now I'm just going to cruise on and I'm just going to wait that 3 more years and just see all those people? Or am I going to get into my textbook, right, the Bible, and I'm going to get into these things and learn these new processes and God's going to teach me new stuff? I'm not stuck in where I'm at and I want to dig deep because each and every patient that I see, I want to dedicate to. What kind of doctor are you? See, each and every day that we come into contact with somebody, we give a diagnosis. And there's so many people in this world that have cancer and has nothing to do with their cells. It has everything to do with sin. They have a cancer of their soul that is killing it each and every day. You walk around people every day that have heart failure. You know people who are schizophrenic spiritually, because they're tossed back and forth from this world to the next doctrine, to this and that. They're schizophrenic. They listen to all the voices around them. God bless showers. Amen. We are spiritual doctors. God just gave me that this morning. I was taking a shower. See, this is a year of discipleship. We are growing in discipleship. It's a year of new things with the Lord. In Isaiah 43:19, we've said this every single week, and it's an incredible verse, and God put a little new light on it this morning. Well, it says this. God is talking, and he says, "For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it?" Do you not see it? I'm going to have to be honest. I don't see it sometimes. Just because you don't see it does not mean it's not happening. It's the very definition of faith. God says, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. So discipleship is for Christians and non-Christians. Jesus' discipleship is both evangelism and discipleship together. That is biblical discipleship. It is both together. But today, church, today is a message for Christian discipleship. So today, if you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and you follow him, this is a message for you. If that's you today, will you say hallelujah? So the last past four Wednesday nights, we've had the honor to be able to teach my wife and I some amazing lessons. It's a 7-week series. Depending on the weather, it may be a 6-week series because this Wednesday is colder than anything imaginable to humankind. Pastor Cody told me that Wednesday will be colder than Siberia. Hallelujah. You get up here to the fire, man. That guy needs warmed up. Man, you lived on the beach. What? That's just ridiculous. Put on the mind of Christ, because you're confused, bro. Put on the helmet of salvation. Something messing with you. But it's been seven. It's going to be 7 amazing weeks. We're reading this book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazio. That's what I'm going with. And Wednesday night was powerful. It was a powerful preaching, right? My wife is an incredible teacher. I am not. I don't know how to teach. I just go, amen. Come on now. This is... All right. I don't know how to teach. I told the Lord that teaching is just quiet preaching. See, now I need you in the drum cage so I can preach to you. Oh, glory to God. See, I'm not very good at teaching. I think it's quiet preaching, but it never ends up so well. But I cannot make apologies for what God has made me. And so I'm just going to stick with preaching. That is what God has birthed in me. So this last Wednesday was supposed to be a teaching, but there was a preaching on what it looks like to go through the wall. The wall. Anybody here on Wednesday night, raise your hand. Okay. The first beginning of this sermon, I have to catch everybody else up because they did not come Wednesday. So it may be some repeats, but it's important because it's taking us somewhere this morning. Is that all right? Okay. I'm going to share a few things from Wednesday's teaching. Some of this will be repeated for some of y'all. First, I want you to know that every follower of Jesus, if that's you today, you should be listening because God has a word for you. Every believer, every follower of Jesus at some point is going to confront the wall. Failure to understand this or failure to go through the wall will result in long-term pain and long-term confusion. Receiving the gift of God in the wall, however, will transform our lives forever. Forever. Say forever, please, church. So the Christian walk, it is wonderful. But it is hard and it is intense. It is not an easy journey. Amen? All journeys, what they involve is this. They involve movement, action, stops and starts again. Detours, delays, and trips to the unknown. The Christian life is no different. Maybe you've met, or maybe it's you today, a Christian that is stuck. Stuck. But we all know, and it's extremely tragic, we all know those people that get stuck so long that they actually dropped out altogether. Tragically, they failed to see the larger picture of what the transforming work of God seeks to do at their wall. We cannot let our pain and our disorientation of the present blind us. What is going on? I thought everything's supposed to be wonderful with God all the time. No, you don't read your word enough, because tell me one person in the Bible that didn't go through a wall or a tragic thing or a trial that they had to rely on God. It's not always about how wonderful and how glorious things are. It's not made that way. Well, most people and believers don't understand is that growth and maturity in Christ, it requires you to go through the wall. Here's great news. It requires you to go through many walls, actually. There are stages and there are seasons in our walk with Christ. Amen? I've heard this before preached when I was a younger Christian. I accepted Christ in ninth grade, and I remember in high school, I've heard this. There's seasons of our walk with God. You go through the mountaintops and the valleys. You go through the dry wasteland, and then it's like walking along a river, and it's just glorious, right? There are seasons of our walk with God. There are stages. Everyone goes through seasons when following Jesus. It's just like outside where we have spring, summer, fall, and winter. Winter. Snow's not the thing. It's going to be a negative 17 as a high on Wednesday. Yeah, well, cold means snow. Snow means cold, all right? That's how that works. It's got to be below 32. It's just, anyway, moving on, see? You can call winter your mountaintop, but I do not. All right. The same is this with our walk with God. Outside there are seasons. The same thing happens with our walk with God. We do not control the seasons. They happen to us. They come to us whether we like it or not. So do walls. So do walls, church. So for most of us, a wall appears through a crisis or through some event in our life that just feels like it destroys our life. It turns our world upside down. It just feels like it demolished everything that we knew about life. That's what a wall is. So here's some examples. How about a cancer diagnosis? Or a tragic church experience? How about divorce or betrayal? A shattered dream, the death of a lost one close to you that you love so deeply that you couldn't believe that God would take them before their time. A job loss, a wayward child that is gone and lost that you feel in your heart. You just desperately need God to do something. I must walk through the wall, God. I must bring my child back. How about a car accident, an inability to get pregnant? About a deep desire to get married, but it's still unfulfilled. Here's one that we've all felt, a dryness or a loss of joy in our relationship with God. A wall is a time when we question ourselves, we question the church, and we question God. Maybe it's the first time you feel that your faith isn't working the way that you thought it was supposed to, right? Or that passed on thing you found on Facebook. Send this to 15 people and you'll be blessed forever, right? It doesn't work. That's not real, okay? There's nothing biblical about that. Stop sending it, okay? Maybe things aren't working out. If I would just get that forward email, hallelujah. Maybe things aren't working out the way you thought they were going to work out, or we have more questions than answers in our relationship with God. It feels like the very foundation, we just sang about that, of our faith is on the line. It's shook up. It's, man, you know, I might be standing on the rock, but it feels like there's an earthquake and there's a crack in my rock. What's going on here? I'm going to fall down that crack. I don't know what to do. We may feel that the door of heaven has been shut as we pray. Helplessness, sense of failure, defeat, getting weary, darkness comes over us, emptiness, dryness starts to descend upon us. Well, there you are standing at the front of your wall, looking at it. Here's the key. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? You have three options. Number one is this. You look at it, too thick, too big, too hard. I'm going the other way. Or look at it, stare at it, and you just get stuck. Or here's the other one. You go through it with God. The only way to move forward, there's only one action. You can go backwards, you can stay still, but there's only one way to go forward, and it's going through the wall. If you don't, and you choose to stay stuck, the pain of staying right in front of that wall is almost unbearable. Walls are not simply a one-time event. Remember I said that? It's a matter of time. When you go through one wall, that God will bring another one in front of you. But what you gonna do? What are you going to do? See, it's just like when you fail and you fall down. The most important thing isn't what you did to fall, it's will you get up? And you know when you fall down, it's not always popping back up, right? Like all those people that work out. It's not like a burpee where you just, I'm down, I'm up, right? I would out some ibuprofen for some of y'all. But it's like you get down, and maybe there's a slow getting up. And maybe part of that getting up is getting to your knees. It's taking one knee. Maybe it's bracing yourself on something or someone and pushing yourself finally back up. But what are you going to do? Walls, they can keep coming. But guess what? It's just part of our ongoing relationship with Christ. Let's give some biblical examples. How about Abraham? Abraham, he walked and waited at that wall for 25 years for the birth of his first son with his treasured wife, Sarah. Then 10 to 13 years later, once his son was born, God says, take him up to that mountain, lay him on an altar, and kill him for me. If you don't know that story, I just want you to know that they walked up that mountain, and even the son said, man, I can't imagine my son. Daddy, where's our sacrifice? Son, just keep walking with me. Hold these things and help me carry. Come up with me. Daddy, let's walk up here. And right when he was about to strike, an angel stopped him. He says, look over there. He provided the sacrifice in the thicket. God blessed him for his faithfulness. He could have said, God, I'm not walking up that wall. This is the boy you promised me. I'm supposed to have an awesome life. But he faced the wall and he walked through it. God blessed him for it. How about this? Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Moses, Elijah, Paul. Those guys walked through quite a few walls, amen? Paul lived a wall. That guy climbed more walls than the Marines. I mean, that's crazy. But guess what? Each man had to go through a wall numerous of times. If we do not walk through our wall, this is what's going to happen. We will fall back into temptation. We will fall back into imperfections that God is trying to work in our lives. Bad habits will return. Selfishness will reign in your life again. It's all about me, Jesus. It's not about you, right? If you would do things my way, me alone, I worship. We become consumers again. Do you know today you came to glorify God, not to consume? Came to glorify the Father as one body, to be equipped, to be set on fire, so you can go out to a world that obviously needs heated up. Let it melt, let it melt, let it melt. love you, second row. Come on. What else happens? We lose strength in our connection to God, and we get a sense that we want to head back to Egypt again. So familiar to be in that bondage. This requires, church, a direct intervention from God. It requires a wall. Requires a wall. Do you know why many people fail in their walk with Christ? Do you know why many people start out well in their journey and they do not finish? One of the major reasons is this: they fail to see that the wall in front of them is the ordinary way to grow in Jesus Christ. This is the ordinary way. This is the biblical correct way. This is every example you read about, but maybe overshadow, that you see that all these heroes of our faith had to walk through a wall to grow closer to God. Why does he do that? God brings us to a wall to purge us. Say purge, church. Our affections, our passions, and he helps rewire us. God, so many parts of my heart that need unplugged and plugged back into you. God works to free us from unhealthy attachments and idolatries of this world. Let me read Isaiah 43:19 in a new way. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I have made a pathway through the wall. I will create rivers in the wall. Amen. The wall is to free us. And most of the time, the wall is to free us from us. We walk through the wall with God. And this is what he does. He breaks wrath, pride, luxury, spiritual gluttony, spiritual envy, spiritual sloth, laziness. The wall protects us from worshiping things. God powerfully invades us when we persevere patiently through the wall and the suffering that it provides in our life at that time. Our great temptation is to do this, to quit or to go backwards. The great temptation. But if we remain still, and quiet before the Lord, and listen for his voice, God will insert something into us, something of himself into our character, and he will mark us for all of eternity if we would just go through the wall. So this is what's important to recognize. Not everything that happens to you is a wall. Okay? Not everything, right? Don't make that molehill into a mountain, all right? Trials happen in our life and they're not the walls. How about this? Misplaced your car keys. Oh, I'm at a wall again. No, you just don't put them in the same spot. It's nobody's fault but whoever had them last. How about horrible coworkers? Delayed airplane departures, car breakdowns, colds and fevers. I've heard some sneezing and some coughing in here today. That's not your wall. That might be a trial in your life. How about loud neighbors having a party starting at midnight? Right? Those neighbors. These are what walls look like. They look like this. They look like Job. Losing absolutely everything in one day. 10 children, his health and all his possessions. How about this? David fleeing from a jealous king for 13 years while going through the desert trying to find his way and waiting for that wall to go through that wall. Or Abraham waiting 25 years for his promised son Isaac. You want to hear more about going through the wall? You want to hear more about that? Please listen online to our church website. for this last Wednesday. But I believe, church, I believe that the American church is standing at a wall. At a wall. We need prayer right now? Okay. Come here. Gary, is that Gary? Is he not feeling well? One of their family members, a 13-year-old little boy, was lost for a while. They just found him dead, a mile and a half from the house. Let's lift him up in prayer. Father, we just ask that right now, God, may your comforting spirit fall upon them. This is a family member, Lord, that they love so deeply. God, I ask that right now, may your comforting spirit fall upon them. God, wrap your arms around them. Lord, there's losses like this we just do not understand. God, we need your love. Wrap your compassion and love around them right now, Lord. May you come right now. God, may this draw them closer to you and not further from you, God. May they rely on you right now, Lord. God, I pray for those parents. Hearts are broken. God, you said this life would not be easy, and this is not an easy time right now. You must mend the brokenhearted. Come right now, God, and fill them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, we're standing at a wall. Talking about the American church in general. This is what happens. How many times have we said, we're waiting for the outpouring? We can't wait. We haven't had a move of God like since 1996. Since 2000, we haven't had a move of God. We haven't had a move of God. We're standing at a wall. We're standing at a wall. Something must be purged from us. Amen? Something must be purged from us. We're never going to have New Testament results. We're never going to believe in New Testament things if we do not believe in a New Testament church, a New Testament gospel. We will never have results like we read about. Thank you guys for ministering to them. I know, church, if you can give me attention. God has a word for us today, okay? I don't want to be mean about that. I mean, we want to love on them. If you're not loving on them, will you pay attention to God's word? No. God has a word for us as a church, part of God's church, in the American church. There's been this diluted message for a long time. Amen? The prosperity circus has closed. Can I prophesy for a second? No longer will stripped down, powerless, comfortable gospel be preached from the pulpit in America anymore. No more hollow words and empty promises. We need a real, authentic gospel of Jesus Christ again. We need it. We are so dry. Have you looked at some of the things that are happening all over the world in the spiritual realm? Have you seen the absolute outpouring of God's presence all over the world? Have you seen about the underground church in China? How it is absolutely exploding. Have you seen that Cuba's getting invaded by the Holy Spirit right now? There are pockets of the gospel and the light being shown all over the world. There are signs, wonders, and miracles that are happening right now. That is happening. But guess where it's not happening? Where you don't hear about it very often. In America. Why? Because we're standing at a wall. That's why. There has been a strange fire. You read about that in the Bible? Strange fire. Strange fire is not from God. There's been a strange fire burning in too many churches for far too long. The Holy Spirit is getting ready to send a fresh fire to fall upon the preachers of America. God is ready to send a fresh fire to fall on His church in America again. This is what a church looks like when it walks through a wall. It's being led by the Holy Spirit. It has active spiritual gifts happening in the church. Evangelism is pouring out of the church. Discipleship is grounded and rooted in the church. World missions and world evangelism is extremely important to the church. Sacrifice happens at the church. Biblical preaching is preached at the church. It's a church that loves sinners and preaches grace, but draws a line in the sand that says there are necessary biblical standards we must enforce. God is calling His church to go back to the Jordan River, where the Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon Jesus, so we can receive a fresh baptism. See, it's only there when we go back to our roots, where we go back to where it happened, that we'll receive power from the Spirit to advance the kingdom of God. So we will go and preach the good news of Jesus to all people with boldness. What happened in the 120 outpouring? Right? You remember? There was 120 that went in the upper room that waited. There was 500 that started, and only 120 stayed. And there was tongues of fire that fell upon them. And it looked like fire. There's a wind that blew through there. And they all started speaking with other tongues. That's what happened. That's the birth of the church that we do today. But why aren't we preaching stuff like that anymore? Not only preaching it, why aren't we believing it and doing it? Here's what happened when the Spirit of God came upon them. This is what happened. They went out and did what with boldness? Say it if you know it. They preached. They preached weak, right? They preached with, I don't know. They preached with what? Boldness. Boldness. The fire of God that we've been talking about all morning, when it comes upon you, what does it bring besides purity? It brings a boldness. Brings a boldness. If we want to be like what we read about, like what we believe in, there must be something that happens first. We must go through the wall. I believe all over the world, God is purging us as a church, purging us of things that are not like Him, so He can finally place Himself back in the church again. Now, we don't like to talk about that. There are so many churches that don't have God in them right now, this morning, right this very moment. Our moral compass has been tampered with and needs to be reset according to God's word. May I preach a real gospel this morning? All right, I just started beginning, all right? There are times we must draw a ruthless sword in order to bring genuine healing. The sharper the sword, the stronger and more perfect the cut. The Bible says it this way. Proverbs 27 verses 5 and 6 says this. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from the enemy. I'm going to stand right here for a moment. Let's call sin what sin is. Okay? Amen? Your flesh ain't going to like this. My flesh doesn't like it either. We're going to call sin what sin is. And in America, we have a very strong sin that I would like to preach this morning. Any sex outside of marriage is a sin, and it is wrong. Losing your virginity is still a big deal to God. It has never changed. Fornication has become a standard in churches. There's how many churches, how many people have you seen fallen when the pastor's sleeping with this person, the secretary's sleeping with that elder, and all these people sleeping around that nobody really knows? what's going on until the whole thing just falls apart. How many things have you seen about that? See, because fornication has become a standard in churches, just like the movies and the sitcoms we watch every day. Desperate Housewives, Californication, or whatever show that you watch, just name it. We watch people having sex on TV and movies on the daily. On the daily, like it's no big deal. The world has become a mass of peeping Toms. What are they doing in there? You're in somebody else's bedroom over and over and over and over again. And we wonder why there's this sinful thing that weaves itself in our life, and we don't know what purity even looks like anymore. The Bible says your eyes are the gateway or the window to your soul. Jesus says if you even look at somebody lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. And people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the what? The heart. The world hates this term, abstinence. That's an old term. But God loves it. He desires it for everyone. But if we do not confront this sexual spirit, that's what it is. This sexual spirit, it will infiltrate, compromise, and affect the whole church. It's like yeast working its way through the dough. See, we all want revival, but we don't want purity. You can't have revival without purity. It doesn't work. God won't come and step in and fill a vessel that is full of junk. The American church is at a wall because we're full of junk. We filled it with all these things when he wants to send his fire to purify it and fill it with his water, overflowing. His everlasting water. So if you're still a virgin, you're still a virgin. Or even if you're not still a virgin, it's time to reclaim and save sex for marriage. Church, this is what we need. We need a fresh baptism of purity. We need things purged out of us so we can walk through the wall and be changed forever. There is no other way. Hell's a real place. Hell is a real place. So is heaven. We like to preach on heaven, but we don't like to preach on hell. Today is a different day. Sin is death. Sin is death. And without Jesus, you're going to burn in hell forever. Without Jesus, the only way, the only truth, and the only life is through Jesus Christ. It's the only way to the Father. There is no other way. Try to find your way up that mountain. It'll just get you to hell. You will burn for eternity. That is truth. That is Bible. That is biblical. That belongs right here and in right here. Sin is death. Without Jesus, you're going to hell when you pass from this earth. And what's scary is we think we're all invincible when we're just one accident, just one breath, just one heartbeat missed away from death itself. God offers Jesus not as someone to think about in your life. God offers Jesus not to sprinkle in your life or just a mystical, fun idea or another teacher. God offers Jesus to be our life. To be our life. And if he's not the Lord and the Savior of your life and you're following the patterns of this world, your final destination is hell. That's it. Lord of your life. Who rules your life? And a lot of times we think, well, God does. No, your fear does. And your fear is an insecurity that you have inside of you that is relying on yourself and not God. So who is the Lord of your life? It's you and your insecurities and your fears. God wants to burn it with his fire. Yes. We must have this in the church again. Get some old Pentecost. Come on. We need some old Pentecostal music up here. We need some old Pentecostal dancing in here. We need to dance on the devil, right? Get under our feet where you belong, devil. Like the serpent. Man, every snake belongs under our feet. I bought my dog. We bought our dog a snake. So she's like, you want that in the house? Yeah, because my dog's going to kill it every day. We're going to get that thing, and he's going to chew it. And I'm going to be reminded that I hate snakes. Here's what's awesome. Jesus saves. Satan lies. And your flesh must be crucified. Who are you a slave to? If you say nobody, then you believe the lie of Satan himself and you're a slave to him. The world and your own fleshly desires. Church, turn. This is for everybody. It's for me. Turn to Jesus while you still have time. Turn to him while you still have time. So any great move of God has two major things that happen. Number one, this. A great conviction of sin. It draws people to repentance. The altars in every church must be open again. The preaching of repentance must happen in the American church again, or we'll just keep staring at our wall. The presence of God is so incredible that everyone should kneel at the altar so God can alter them. Second thing that happens is an incredible urgency to share Jesus Christ with everyone around them. To be a real disciple maker, the reality of hell and God's judgment becomes real in their life. That the devil is real and he's roaring and walking around like a lion and he's ready to devour anyone he can. And he's picking the ones off that don't know the truth, that aren't sticking with a group of people. He can't wait to get them alone so he can destroy them and eat them and kill them. That's what he does every day. That is what he eats, breathes, and sleeps every single day. That is his nature. That is all that he is here for until he's tossed into the lake of fire forever. That's what he's going to be doing. So the reality of hell and God's judgment becomes real in our life. And we will go and disciple like Jesus did. So in the Old Testament, God used prophets a lot. And it's kind of like, in some ways, like a preacher that would go and bring a message to God's people or to a corrupt nation to turn back to God or give them a chance. Or he would even tell good nations that are doing evil things that if you don't do something, you're going to be invaded. And God is telling you now, so you better turn from your way. It's called repentance, right? Turn to God from your ways. And he would go and he'd also lift up and build up, and he would encourage through the prophets. It was a mouthpiece for God. And there's this guy named Joel. And he talked to the Israelites. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. And I believe Joel has a message for the American church right now. And it says this in Joel chapter 2, verse 13. It says this. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and to not punish. See, forgiveness is immediate. Praise God. But personal and spiritual restoration is a process. It is a journey. All of us have some deep cleansing that is needed in our life. Amen? Five people agree with that. If you don't agree with that, then you need to get on your knees and ask God for repentance. All of us need some cleansing in our life. Unless you're Jesus himself, you need cleansing. We need cleansing. We want to see lost people come to Jesus, then we must be more intentional about giving ourselves to God in the areas that we don't really want to. We must sacrifice our flesh way more than we do now. We must realize what really, really revival is. Revival is the presence of God. And the only way presence of God is coming is if God's people would repent from their wicked ways and he would heal their land. We must realize that we are running out of time. Many of us, we're not going to move forward with God through the wall until we're driven to our knees. I've been there. I've been there a few times, driven to my knees, because I would not listen to God. He said, I don't want to do this, but I love you. Get on your knees, because you need to realize that you need me. You must burn that from your life. If we stay strong, when we face our walls in our spiritual life with God, he will not only purge something out of us, but at the same time, he's going to implant something into us. Something has to be different, church. Something has to be different. Totally different. When I look at, I think in some ways I'm thankful in the way that I grew up. I grew up in a mainline denomination, but we didn't read our Bible at home. We said the sinner's prayer before we went to bed every night, King James Version, and I knew it by heart every single time. That's how we prayed. That's the only way we prayed. And I remember going to church. I don't remember anything but the Bible stories from Sunday school, but besides that, I don't remember any sermon ever about anything. And then I accepted Christ in ninth grade, and the Bible became real to me, and I started reading it. And I didn't really actually study the Bible until I went to Bible college, which I do not advise for anyone, because that was extremely hard. Tested on the thing you're reading probably for the first time, that was difficult. I was learning, studying, and being tested all at one time. A lot of this stuff was new to me. But here's the benefit that I had. I wasn't tainted. I wasn't tainted by all these man-made religions that came, and we should do this and that and this, and it doesn't even line up to the Word of God. I remember the first time I ever read the book of Acts is when I got saved in a four-square church in ninth grade. I didn't even know that book existed, because the church that I was in never preached it. Because if you don't understand something in the churches, you either don't preach it, you make fun of it, or you just ignore it. You think it's just going to go away, right? Gifts of the Spirit, I don't get it, so we ain't going to talk about it. Well, that happened then. It's not for now. God never stops working. Last time I read in God's Word, he says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't say yesterday, sensationalists stopped that day, and we're different later. I just wonder. Now, I love open Bible. And I love the covering. And I'm thankful, and I believe in what they stand for. We have the same kind of doctrine and faith. But I wonder if God's heart breaks every time he looks down and he sees all these denominations split, when we could all be worshiping him together. Because that's what it's going to look like in heaven. We need to preach a true gospel. We get so stuck on denominations. We get so stuck on mid-trib, post-trib, pre-trib. We get so stuck on our opinion of whatever it is. We get stuck on these things. But what does God want? He wants our hearts. He wants us to work together. He wants unity. We stand at a wall because we've built the wall ourselves. I ain't going to get past this. I'm going to slap some more up here. Right? Hey, any more Masons back there? Any more Pharisees? Any more Sadducees? We need you up here to help build this brick wall that's in front of us. It's not quite thick enough. God's got to break this. Stand at a wall, and we need the Spirit of the living God to break us through it. But there's so many things that we have put in place in front of us at the American church that we're not seeing a move of God like he wants us to. But if we stay strong, and if we face our wall, and if we allow God to purge us and the fire to come and purify us and give us a boldness, we will walk through that wall. We will. Something must be different. We need freedom, real freedom that comes from going through the wall. In Leviticus chapter 21, as I close, Brent, you can come up if you want. It's up to you if you want your team. You want your team, yes or no? Are you feeling? Yes. All right, team, come up. Just listen to this part real quick, team. You can just stand where you're at right now. Leviticus chapter 21 says this. Talks about this. God forbids anyone to touch something that is dead. Because those corpses, they spread disease when you touch them. See, dead things stink and dead things rot. That is why, church, we cannot touch dead religion anymore. Amen. You may go. Thank you. So think of that when you're up there playing an instrument or singing. That's all for God's glory. That's all for God's glory. That's a relationship. Man, I'm going to strum this for the glory of God because of my relationship with Him. I'm going to sing this because of the glory of God. I'm going to go out and tell the people about You because of the glory of God. I'm going to stand. I'm going to sacrifice all the things that I love, these worldly pleasures, because I love You, God, because I'm at my wall and I must go through. You must change me. See, when you go through a wall, you're changed and you know it. You're changed and you know it. You'll never be the same again. I've had some walls in my life. Before I came to Iowa, there were 7 years. 7 years I was not in full-time ministry that I stood at a wall. I call it a cubicle. And I felt like every day I was rotting but God had to purge me of me. I could never be this guy if it weren't for that wall. I'm thankful for it. It's your attitude that will determine if that wall falls or not. I had to get humble before God and know that He called me and say, you know what? You know what? You're going to sit at this wall until you look like me. But you don't look like me right now. And God's going to put another one and another one and another one. And I pray that 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, next week I'll look more like Jesus. I'll preach more like Jesus. I'll act more like Jesus than I did today because of the walls in my life. But it's my decision what I'm going to do. But we're staring at a wall. And we must have Jesus. We must have a relationship with our Father. Here's what I believe the Spirit of God is ready to do, but He's waiting for a church that He can go into. He's waiting. God's Spirit is ready to send a fresh Pentecost. But until He does, I pray that we wrestle and we push through the wall until He sends that blessing from heaven. We've had a lot of stuff prophesied over our church. That will be a place that will bring people in that will need healings. That they'll stop here before they stop at the hospital and they'll be healed. We've had prophecies that we're a city on a hill. We're a place of refuge. We've had prophecies that God's going to do these miraculous works, that people off the streets are going to come sick, disease-filled, bound by drugs and alcohol and cigarettes or whatever. They're going to come up, feel the glory of God and the presence of God, and something's going to hit them, and they're going to come up, and they're going to repent, and they're going to be changed forever. We've had these things prophesied over us. And I ask myself, why not yet, God? Why not yet? And here it is. Because we have not gone through our wall. We don't look like what Jesus needs us to look like yet. If that truly happened, we wouldn't know how to act because we're too much like us and not enough like God. And there's only one way to do it. You stand at your wall. There's three ways. You can say, you know what? This is difficult. I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to walk away. Or we can keep standing and being stuck and being like, I just look at this wall. It's too thick. I can't get through it. I don't know what to do. I'm not really ready to let that part of me go yet. I kind of like that sin that I have in my life. I'm not quite ready because I'm comfortable where I'm at. We're standing there. God just saying, give it to me. 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 Let it burn. Come on. Come on, let it burn. The American church, in so many ways, is about us and our pleasures and our prosperity and not about God's glory. And I pray and I prophesy, it's over. It's done.
Right.
Done. It's done. God, we need to go through Your wall because if we don't, we will die. Do you understand? If we don't fill these seats with younger people, each and every person here today, when you die, this is done. It's over. Next generation doesn't know the gospel. That's on us. And God tells us, you're supposed to pass it generation to generation, but we have to be careful what we're passing to the next generation. Pray that we be purified. Will you stand with me, please? Lower lights, please, Josh. This morning I wrote on Facebook, and I believe it. I believe that God is ready to do a mighty work. I expected God to do a mighty work. I know that God wants to do a mighty work, and today's no special than any other day, but today's special because God has a word, a specific word, and each day is special in God because He doesn't run out of things to say to us. He doesn't run out of opportunities to give us. We're the ones that run out. We're the ones that turn Him off or turn away or walk away. There are people going to hell. I'm not okay with that. Are you okay with that? I'm not okay with that. I feel we're like stuck at a wall. I'm not okay with that. Are you okay with that? So what are we gonna do? Father in heaven, may it start with me, God. May you purge me. Lord, I don't know exactly what to do, but I do know that I'm desperate for you, God. That I could cruise. Lord, I could put together great sermons and lead these people and everybody could be happy. But I know that I'll regret it. Lord, help me. I want to walk through this wall. God, I want to see the things that I preach about and read about. God, I want to be a part of those things. I just need you. I need you. That's it. That's all I need. I don't want to be ignorant about the things that you're doing any longer. Will you reveal what you want me to know, God? Will you reveal it? God, I pray, there's so many parts of me that don't look like you, Lord. Humble me, God. Break my pride. Break my selfishness. So you can use me. God, there's sin in my life. There's things that I don't even know about that easily entangle me. You burn it right now, right now. Fire God, I am on your altar and I'm asking for you to burn it. God, I can't be like this any longer, Lord. And I ask for this church, Lord, may you lead us through the wall. We don't have to look like each other. All we need to look like is you. We just want to look like you. And as long as you tarry and you wait, because I know that you're coming, Jesus. But if you tarry, if you wait, may we wait on purpose. With power and boldness. Like the five virgins waiting for you, God, I don't want to be the other five, the other half of the churches that weren't even prepared for you, God. We must be blemish-free, spot-free, wrinkle-free. God, we have to be purified. We must be the five virgins with those lamps waiting for the bridegroom. Lord, just come, come, come. Lord, just have your way. I pray for everybody in here, God, move in the way that you need to move upon them. But God, may they not leave unless they're changed. May they not leave until they're changed. May they not leave until they're compelled to do something different. God, make them read their Bible different, different time, different way. God, give them a new study. Give them a new word. Give them a new place. Give them a new time. I don't know, new person, whatever it is. God, they have to do something different. If they're stuck, they must get out of the ruts. And if there is sin, deep, deep sin, if there's sin that is willing and they're okay with it, God, may you burn it right now. May they get sick about it. May they understand the feeling that it gives you, God. It's like spitting on the cross and saying it ain't even worth it. God, forgive me for that. Man, sometimes the things that I do, God, I don't know how you forgive me, but I know that your forgiveness is enough. May it compel me to not do it anymore. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. May it pour out in these days, God. We stand at the wall. We ask that you help us go through it. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do what God's telling you to do right now, church. Go if you must go. Come to the altar. Worship. Read God's word. Talk to somebody. Pray. Whatever it is.